Hey, Pronouncers, welcome back to another episode of Printavo Pronouncers Podcast. Very excited about our guest today. We've got Mr. Cal King out of Hercules, California, which you probably haven't heard of that unless you're by there. But Bay Area, close enough, founder of Blue Chip Tees. Thanks for joining us, Cal.
Hey, thank you for having us, Bruce. Really appreciate it.
Wait, so you're talking about your back?
Yeah, I'm a very athletic person, but I jumped on one of those SB bikes, tried to pop some wheelies. I hit about a good 15, 20 feet, yards, but after that, I was just, just sprung the back, and muscles tightened up against the bones and stuff, so I've been out for the last week just trying to recover. But yeah, today's a good day. Just got back from the chiropractor and, they cracked it a little bit, second session, and feeling a little bit better. It's a little bio freeze on the backside and, ready to kind of rock and roll today. So a little catch up.
Doctor said no more wheelies for a little bit.
No more wheelies at all. Actually, wifey said no more wheelies. So and I was so intrigued to get a SB bike, but now, granted that I have a huge job and a responsibility to take care of here at the shop, so no more bikes, man.
Where'd the job come from? Was it just out of the blue or from Yelp or somebody you knew?
We're a very strong community base here. Another thing, first of all, I would have never got into this business if it wasn't for my background. We used to do a lot of entertainment, concerts, shows, clubs here in the Bay Area. So I kind of used that network and rep to build this company, and it worked out. It worked out really well over the last 14 years, starting in our garage, and here we are now, and we're just getting jobs pretty much from every direction in our community and area. I also did work corporate at one point, and as an HR staffing manager. And that network is streaming in as well. So it's just all about networking, what I found, and using that past to my advantage.
How did you get into screen printing, though? So what was it from HR, and or how did that all happen?
Well, it was one day a buddy of mine came down from Hawaii, and he was getting printed t-shirts from another source here in the Bay Area. And I went up to his hotel room, and he was like, just go through the boxes, see what you want, size, medium, blah, blah, blah. So I started digging through the boxes and kind of looking at the prints. And then I was like, this light bulb came on into my head, and I was already kind of done with the whole corporate things, wanted to be more close to my girls. So over the course of maybe about a year, I was just kind of really studying, going on YouTube and going on different
forums. What year was this?
This was 2007. And then from there, I kind of resigned from my position and really kind of started looking for these packages. Picked up a Riley Hopkins six color press. Picked up this $5,000 package, with a little buddy. And,
yeah, yeah. I think we may have had the same one.
Yeah.
We had the little buddy too. Although ours was from a friend that was in his garage, and he's the one that bought the pack, and so we bought it off him. Sorry. So you were watching YouTube. You got into it. It was around 07, 08. Just starting to print there, or is it printing for yourself, or what?
Just printing for myself, trying to figure it out, whether or not I was going to, print a bunch of stuff, go to the flea market, sell it, for friends and family, just trying to figure it out. And I was in my garage at this time, and one day, we got an order. It was like 250 t-shirts, and we just kind of took off from there, and I figured out exactly what I wanted to do. Instead of printing for myself, why not just print for everybody else? So that was the idea, and hit the ground running from there and just did it. It was a good thing for us, but at the same time, it was just a grind. It was a real grind. So
totally. Yeah. Especially on a manual, it's definitely I mean, anywhere it's a grind. It's just a different types of grind. Was it just you, or was it you and your wife at the time?
She was doing most of the operations, the books. I mean, it was fairly easy because we were operating out of our house. But, you know, it took us another 3 years to really figure out if we wanted to go bigger. And we did that. And since she really got involved as far as ordering the shirts, managing the ledgers. And, you know, and that was very important. You know, if it, without her, I wouldn't be where I am now, you know. So, you know, everybody, like I said, you know, she came to me one day and she was like, you know, you have boxes everywhere of just T-shirts and you need a bigger space. You gotta get out the house. So, you know, I think that was 2011, 2012. We just started looking.
I'm curious, though, how, like, you talked about when we said, okay, do we want to take this thing to the next level? What does that mean? You know, for somebody that's either getting started or maybe at a manual and say, hey, I want to take this to the next level. Like, what did that mean for you guys?
Well, we knew it was going to be a big risk, you know, and transitioning over to automatic was definitely on our minds, but it was like, okay, do we have enough orders to fulfill getting an automatic? And we just kind of took the risk and transitioned to that. I think we went to New York just to try to figure it out, you know, and just talk about it more. I think I visited a few print shops over in Boston and just see what they were doing. And I came back home just kind of with this confidence and really juiced about it. And so I reached out to a few people and, you know, as far as who had automatics here in the Bay Area and visit just to kind of see what they were doing and started understanding what contract was, started understanding what they were doing for their community, how they locked that down. So I took a look at my community and saw my community was in need of a printer. And we just kind of took that chance and dove right into it.
That's huge. I mean, that's a pretty big transition for a lot of people to the first press, right? I mean, it's especially as you're also talking about at the same time moving out of your house. Was there anything that you remember that was difficult maybe that you would have done differently?
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, things kind of rolled right into play. One, because over the years of being in the garage, I kind of stacked up on different types of equipment, you know, bigger wash booth, you know, tons of screens, just kind of prepping myself because in the beginning, you know, I saw where I wanted to be and executing it was something that I was always, you know, very mindful of doing. So, you know, it was, I won't say that it was easy, but it was just, it was kind of well planned, to be honest with you.
Did it fire you? I mean, you talk about being fired up, going to see these other shops, which I think is huge. People get so motivated seeing that too. And like, holy crap, I can do this exact same thing. You know, do you think it also fired you up to sell a lot more? You know, like sort of feeding the machine in a way because you making that leap up?
Definitely. Reaching out to the people I know, using friends and families as kind of, you know, another source of selling. I mean, I always believe in you tell those five people is going to tell another five people. Those five people is going to tell another five people. And, you know, and like I said, you know, I use my popularity here in the Bay Area to kind of really gain more business. And it worked. I mean, yes, it was a risk, but it definitely worked for us throughout the years. So.
And you've got one auto today?
One automatic and one manual press.
Got it. And how, like, you talk about your popularity before from working in entertainment. It sounds like a lot of. Did you ask for referrals too? When you say five people can tell five people, like, was it, or did it more naturally happen, or was it, hey, can, is there anybody else you think that you can introduce me to? And
it was more naturally. You know, it's like once people figured out that, hell, Cal's doing printing and Yeah, listening to some business over to Cal, and once they saw the prints and saw how good my prints were, it just kind of piggybacked on from there and there. And we got stronger and stronger just by executing good prints with the manual. So
sure.
It's interesting how now jumping on the automatic versus jumping on the manual, and I find myself my prints come out better on the manual. But it's everyone knows that when you are on the manual, it's not as consistent as the automatic. So now I'm barely using that manual as much as I used it in the garage.
Got it. How did your team look pre-COVID and now post-COVID in 2021?
You know, it's always been my girls, and my wife executing or doing the jobs at hand.
Got it. So it's just pure family. That's awesome.
Just a family. And, so it was fairly easy. When we got big jobs coming in, the girls would come over. They'll help. But, for the most part, it's always been almost a one-man show, to be honest with you. And, we put in hours and hours, 16 hours, 18 hours a day, like just straight print hustling. And, it's a great workout. I can say that for sure. Great workout. But
so,
that's
interesting. Not that I'm going to say it's a one-man show, because obviously you do have the help of the family, but it sounds like you do a lot of work to help carry it. And when the job comes in, you're in there printing it, getting it all done, and then your wife helps make sure that everything's straight. As this quote-unquote like one-man show running that auto, it's very interesting. And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of shop owners who I've talked to who have, grown the team and have 20 people or whatever and multiple presses, so many say, I really miss the days where it was just me or me and a partner or me and my wife just working on it back at home or back in the shop. But I mean, you kind of blended that transition in a way.
Yeah. I think when I went into it, it was always making the right investments. And my wife was always, we have to make the right investments. If you're going to do this as a career, do it for a reason. And so over the years, we have made the right investments as far as getting the equipment, paying the equipment off, leasing the building that we're in to owning the building that we're in, 4,500 square foot warehouse. Mm. So it's always been making the right investments and keeping it in the family as much as we can. And it's just now this last past couple of months where I've gotten two employees to come in, really help with this year, because we saw last year, during COVID, we were busy from May 1st to December 1st. We were extremely busy. So I told myself,
really?
I can't.
What kind of customers? Was it like small businesses? Was it large companies, schools, government? Like what kind of stuff were you seeing?
We were seeing small businesses, and we were also getting out to some of the schools that were doing virtual school classes. But they wanted to have T-shirts while they're, doing this virtual sessions. So we did shirts for them. We just kind of sold the business in a different way. And a lot of streetwear. Guys were coming in.
For retail brands you're talking.
Right. And they were coming in trying to figure out how they're going to keep their money rolling. So we helped them and got them graphics done and whatever that needed to be done, and just kind of executed. And from there, our next biggest city close to us is Richmond, California. And there are a lot of young people there. And one of the great things about here is most of the young people, they come and hang out here at the shop. So it's kind of a little hub to keep kids off the street as well.
Sure.
And definitely inspire them to see what I'm doing, so they go back out and transition or do what they're doing as far as whether if it's computer graphics or it's video editing and stuff. But they love to come here and just feel the energy to keep them motivated. So that's something that I love to do, is just see kids motivated and really get them off the streets to do great things in the future.
That's awesome. Super admirable. What were the two people that you brought in? Why'd you bring them in, and what are they focusing on now day to day?
I needed someone to do the grunt work. So, I mean, when it comes to washing screens, prepping, pulling, catching, those things needed to, I needed to take that load off and pass the baton, because, I mean, over the last 7 years that we've been here, I've been doing pretty much everything. You know,
got it.
So, I mean, it got kind of lonely, bro.
I hear that. What was that transition? So this was the first time of bringing some outside help, it sounds like, to help you. Like, was there a bit of a burnout from COVID too, you think? Or is it just super busy? What do you think?
It was super busy, and yes, there was a huge burnout. I think from like December to the middle of January, I literally took off. You know, I mean, I did a few orders here and there, but I mean, I literally took off because I was just so tired, so burnt out. I mean, muscle spasms, and you know, in my upper neck. You know, so this year, 2021, I said things are going to have to change. And so we took the steps to make those changes happen by bringing in a few people, someone that's really close to me, he's been here at the shop helping periodically, but he had his own thing going, but he decided to come in full time with us and really help us out.
Interesting. You know, we don't talk about that kind of that side too much. There's a lot of like celebrating successes. Do you feel like, I mean, there was so much going on then, right? I mean, you know, everything culturally, politically, and then you've got COVID, and then, you know, there's a lot of question marks with all of our businesses. Do you think that, like, was that a huge contributor, you feel like, or was it other stuff more shop related that, or maybe even personal related, that really said, hey, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Or actually, it sounds like it's just, I need time off.
I mean, it was, like I said, it was really, really the burnout. We just got really busy throughout that time. I mean, of course, you're right. A lot did happen in 2020, and I think that we took full advantage of that, whether if it was BMLK or BLM shirts that needed to be mm-hmm. done by various groups, whether if it was Love Trump or Hate Trump, we did a lot of that as well. You know, we, like I said, we took advantage of every area that we could possibly can to stay busy in the shop. But like when December 1st came, I was just done. I mean, normally I take a small vacation in November to an expo called ComplexCon down in Long Beach every year. And that's where the urban community and hip hop community comes together. And for this like 3-day weekend, and I mean, it's very inspiring, and usually every year I come back so juiced and rejuvenated. And this year, last year it didn't happen, so I didn't have that extra to come back and, you know, really perform well at my job. You know,
I hear that, to finish up the year.
Yeah, you know, so. And I hear that they're going to be doing it in Chicago. In the next following year, so they'll definitely get me to get out to go to Chicago, because this is something I always like to go out, because every streetwear company, I mean, from Crooks and Castles, the Hundreds, et cetera, is there at this show where you can network at, and we really get involved with the hip-hop community, and that's something that I mean, I've been a hip hopper for all my life. I'm still a hip hopper to this very day. You know, fashion is something that I crave, whether if I'm a sneakerhead or just a t-shirt guy that just love different types of graphics. So, you know,
sure.
Because of that and because people know me as that guy, as a real OG, I guess, hip hopper, they gravitate to that. And that is part of my network. So, we, like I said, we take full advantage of that, you know.
Got it. I'm curious. That month off, month and a half off or so, do you feel like that just helped decompress, or like, is that what you needed, or was there other stuff that you found to create a balance to help, you know, manage the growth and everything that's happened with at the company?
That month, I pretty much literally stayed in bed, and it just something that I needed, you know. I think mom had said something to my daughters, like, why is he in bed? My daughters came back to mom, was like, hey, dad needs it. And so it was peaceful. It was away from the shop, away from the machines, just to kind of really, like you said, decompress from it all. But it also gave, it helped me think, you know, for the future planning. As far as employees, what do I want to do next as far as and not burn myself out for the next year? How I'm going to perform my job and be able to work efficiently and not so much. And so, you know, I think one of the things that we talked to one of the folks that we have a contract with, and just kind of let her know what we were looking for and how we was going to be able to sell her business as well as selling our business mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, because, you know, you can get 12 shirts, 24 shirt orders all the time. But those are the orders that really takes really a lot out of you when you get so many. You know, I'd rather stick with the larger quantity amount of orders versus the small amount of orders, because, you know, those, like I said, those small burn orders will burn you out. Just so many of them, and washing screens. I mean, because I did it all, from the graphics to preparing the screens, washing the screens, on press, printing, pulling, catching.
Yeah, you were doing everything.
Everything, you know. So, you know, and over the course of 9 months, I mean, it's just, or let's say 7 months, I mean, that will really take a lot out of you. So,
well, I was just curious, do you feel like you would have brought those two people on earlier to help you sustain all of those different orders, especially from May to December, sort of knowing what you know now? Or do you feel like it was fine? I mean, you talk about, you know, doing it like that for 7 years. That is a long time, really, with you pushing forward at the helm there.
To be honest with you, I guess I was so gung-ho just to get it done. But also to see what I can do as far as growth-wise. You know, a lot of people say it's just remarkable to see where you were from the garage or where you are now. You know, I mean, paying off the equipment, you know, from leasing to owning, that's a lot of hard work. You know, we're in Northern California. I mean, one of the most expensive areas in the nation, and it's tough. I mean, it's really, really tough. But I was able to manage that with the help of my family, of course. But, you know, it was just setting that tone with ourselves, looking straight forward and just grinding it out. You know, you set a 10-year plan and you just grind it out no matter what until they all, I guess the term here is until the wheels fall off, you know. So I guess the wheels fell off in December to make me rethink now what I need to do in order to reach, take that step to the next level by bringing in folks to help out.
What do you think there's any future roles coming, or you think you're okay now with these two?
We'll see. I mean, you know, my daughter has been very, very, very in the mix with us. She went ahead and purchased a embroidery machine, a Tajima forehead machine. So she's definitely has taken Blue Chip to another level. This is something that, you know, 7 years ago I told myself that I was never going to get involved with. I was just going to stick with printing. But then, you know, she just kind of, you know, pulled a rabbit out of the hat. And
why'd you swear it off then?
You know, because I was always interested in just getting the, my goal was at one point, okay, Cal, you know, I want to get a second press. I want to do 2,000 shirts a day, and I wanted to really build this into more of a printing company. And so I just kind of put the embroidery thing to the back burner, and just kind of more like, you know, just never thought I was going to get into it, or this company was never going to get into it. But she surprised me, and you know, she comes from a long line of seamstress and people who sews in her our family, and she just kind of took it to the next level. And she bought this little brother machine, and you know, I kind of said to her, I was like, why'd you buy that thing? You know, that's not going to do what you wanted to do. And she found out that it didn't do what it wanted her to, for her to do. And so I kind of told her what to look for, and she found a machine up in Sacramento. It's used, of course, but it was for a good price. And, you know, we made it happen.
Forehead?
Yeah, say it again.
The forehead? The Tajima?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and, you know, she's like, Dad, can we go and look at it? And I was like, yeah, let's go and look at it. So we drove up to Sacramento and took a look at it. The people who was running it, you know, took very good care of it. And we went ahead and made them the offer. And they was like, hey, yeah, I mean, we've seen you guys online before and, you know, follow your Instagram. We would want you to have this machine rather than anyone else. So we took advantage of that. And a week later, we went to go pick it up. Our movers went to go pick it up and brought it back down. And now she's just, I mean, she spent about a good 3 weeks trying to really understand the machine. And she just did that, you know, spending a lot of time in the other room just understanding the machine as much as possible. And now she's just ready to rock and roll. So, I mean, like I said, I'm proud of her, and I'm proud of the things that
that is really cool.
Yeah, you know,
that ambition is awesome.
You know, it's funny because, like, in her sixth grade, when she was in the sixth grade, she had said to, you know, given her class class speech, saying that, you know, when I graduate from college, I want to help my dad. Well, here you are. She's helping her dad.
So, what do you feel like is your biggest win here then over the past 12 months, or maybe something that you've taken away from all of this change and transition, growth, slowdown, bringing on people? You know, what if you were to share something with somebody that's further behind shop-wise, just as they're kind of growing up the ranks there, what's something that you'd give them?
If you can go into a partnership with someone close, someone that's interested, do it. Going into it by yourself is definitely a huge grind. And not everyone is going to be that dedicated unless they're really, really love what they do. But finding a partner to help you build is pretty much the advice that I will give someone. Because that's something that I wish that I had done in the beginning, or kind of just would have, you know, talked to a few friends that are very close and trustworthy. Someone that was looking for longevity versus looking for shortcoming. Those are the things that I wish I would have done, and that's something I would tell the next someone that's just starting out, whether they're in the garage or if they're in a small space, renting a small space. Because, I mean, it's very important that you don't burn yourself out, but it's also important that you stay interested, and you have an end game. What are you in this career for? What type of building blocks that you want to push out of this? And I think what we did is we made those right investments by buying the building. Purchasing out the equipment, and little small things here and there that has helped us, you know, build as a family. But if you can find a family member that's very interested in and to go into partnership, even better. You know, if you have a brother, if you have a sister, go make it happen, you know. So
definitely. You know, you mentioned that paying off the equipment in the building. Were you leasing the building first and then the opportunity came up to buy it, or was it you were buying it first and you just paid it off?
We were leasing for the first 2.5 years, and uh-huh. then we had the opportunity, and we bought our space. It's 4,500 square feet.
That is really cool. It was the previous owner just said he wanted to get out, or did you kind of convince him?
She's actually, uh-huh. When we first leased the building, she gave us I think it was like a 12-month lease, and she did say to us that she wanted to sell at some point. We didn't know when, and it was interesting because, you know, we had all this electric stuff done, drop down hoses coming down into the press. I mean, we did so much to the building. And then finally, when she came to us and said, I'm ready to sell, she had 4 units. It's about 8 units in this building. And she uh-huh. had 4 of those units. And she said, you're either going to have to move, you're going to have to lease from the next owner, or you're going to have to buy. You know, and we scrambled for a little bit. And but luckily, we were in the position in order to purchase the building and pretty much, you know, go from there. I mean, now it feels good that we're not going anywhere. No one's kicking us out. There's no lease anymore, you know. And that feels really good because, you know, once you become a fixture in your community, then the skies are unlimited. Everyone knows you by first name here. And that's something that we're very grateful that we were able to establish that 7 years here in our community as our home base. And like I said, here in, I would say about 3 or 4 cities over, everyone knows me by first name. And that's something that we built by staying in one place. So we're very sure. grateful of that.
Yeah. The building's interesting. We always have a lot of conversations about it just because there's different factors, right, of growth. Are you going to outgrow it? Or, you know, one big thing is exactly what you said is you just spend so much outfitting it to be what you need that it's hard to not want to, you know, be investing in something that you own versus something that you may have to move out at some point on.
Right, right. You know, and another thing was, you know, when we were leasing, it just seemed like our money was just going nowhere. You know, we're just forking out, you know, this money to someone else. And, you know, like I said, we live here in Northern California. Rent's super high. The economy is super high.
Sure.
You know, so it just almost seems like it's impossible, you know, to even dig out of that, to even gain. You know, you're just $3,500 just going out the door each month, you know, it's just on leasing. And of course, you know, things, the it just keeps going up and up and up here in Northern California. And if I was to move out and just say, okay, I'm going to lease the building out to someone, I mean, that's $5,500 that we can lease it out now. But I mean,
sure.
It's difficult here in Northern California for anyone to really get ahead, and we was trying to find a source of way or some sort of way to get ahead, and luckily that just came up when she had came to us and said, hey, I'm going to help you guys if you, by offering you this this building at a great price, and we just took advantage of it.
Sure. Well, you also put yourself in luck's way too. You know, by taking the, you mean, talking about taking the leap too, especially going, you know, automatic and jumping into a building, and that's a big jump, especially 5,500 a month. That's a significant jump,
right?
You know, going from home-based business in.
Right, right. And it was, the great thing about it is that it is 4,500 square feet. So if we wanted to expand, which my dream one day is to get a Sportsman EXG 14 color auto, I mean, that's something that I'm just really looking towards towards the future. We have the capability to put it, another press into the shop. So, yeah.
Heck yeah, that's exciting. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. This is Cal King, Blue Chip Tees out of Hercules, California. I appreciate sharing your story. We'll see you guys on the next episode of Printavo Print Hustlers Podcast. Thank you.
Right on.